Often when people think of the church, probably the first thing that they think of is their own parish church, because this is where we go to Mass on Sundays. It's where some of us might have been married or had our children baptized, or we might have received confirmation here. And so this parish plays a very important part in our spiritual lives. You know, this is where we come to worship and adore the Lord. But the church, as important as that is, the church is a far greater reality than simply our parish church right here. And as we look at today's gospel, Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter. And anytime there's a name change in Scripture, that means that it's a very important moment in salvation history. You know, if we think of another example of when Abram became Abraham, that was a very pivotal moment in salvation history. And here, Simon receives the name Peter. Peter was not a name that was in use at that time. You know, the name's fairly common today, but at that time, no one was named Peter. But Jesus gives that name to him. The word literally means rock. And he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And Peter himself probably had no idea how incredible of a reality the church was and what role it would play in God's plan of salvation. You know, probably went far beyond anything Peter could imagine at that time. You know, the church is not simply a human organization. It's not something that a group of people got together and said, hey, what are we going to do? Let's start a church. It is God's instrument of salvation for the entire human race. And it's also God's instrument of unity for the entire human race. And so, what do we mean when we say it's God's instrument of salvation? You know, this is the way in which the fruits of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary come to us. And so when a child is baptized, which is one of the sacraments of the church, they receive the fruits of the sacrifice of Christ. They receive forgiveness of sin and the outpouring of the graces of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Mass is the representation of Calvary. Calvary is made present to us on this altar through the priesthood and through the sacrifice of the Mass. And so we receive the graces that come from Calvary and from Christ's paschal mystery, his death and resurrection. We receive those graces through the church. Without the church, there would have been nobody to pass on any of the truths of the faith. And so all the things that we know are true about Jesus Christ, about the Trinity, about the sacraments, about what happens after death, all of those things come to us through the church. If there were no church, there would have been nobody to pass those things on. You know, there might have been, you know, a couple hundred different people with different ideas of what Jesus said, but over time, those all would have disintegrated and become lost. So we would have had no knowledge about Jesus Christ and what he taught without the church. You know, sometimes people take it for granted in our world, when there's many different churches, that anyone who wants to can just know about Jesus Christ. But it's only through the church that that was passed on to us. And without the church, there would have been no sacraments. The sacraments would not have been passed on to us. Without the church, there would have been no Bible, because it's the church that compiled Scripture and passed it on from generation to generation. Without the church, there would be no Bible. And so without the church, we would have been sheep without a shepherd. You know, the world would have fallen back into paganism, just like most people were pagans before the time of Christ. And so all of these things that we have access to as members of the church, we have because of the church. And so it's an incredible act of the mercy of God that he gave us the church in order to, so that we can have access today to the teachings of the church and the graces of the sacraments and ultimately to salvation. It's also God's will to unite the human race together into one family. You know, that it's sin that has divided us. And our Lord desires to reunite us and bring us back together into one family. And the church is his instrument to do that, because there's one faith that's passed on through the church and one baptism. And so it's the church that unites people together in professing the one faith. And so in order for people to be united together, there has to be some visible structure to unite them. And that's what comes to us through the papacy. And as members of the church, we're united to a family that has over 1 billion members across the entire globe. And so we are literally brothers and sisters in Christ to people in the persecuted underground church in China. We're brothers and sisters with Christians in India, in Africa, across Europe, South America, all corners of the world, wherever the Mass is offered and people are professing, you know, the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not only united to over 1 billion people across the globe, but we're also united through the church to all the faithful who came before us and those who will come after us. And so we hold the same faith, and we worship at the same altar as the early Christians who were in the Roman Empire, and throughout the Middle Ages, and through the Renaissance, and the discovery of the New World, and the great missionaries like St. Francis Xavier. We're united in the same body with them across time. And the church exists not only in time, but the church exists in eternity. The church will not stop existing when time is over. When John sees his vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, he sees the church, the new Jerusalem, radiant with splendor. And it's reflecting the glory of the virtues and the graces of all the saints, every individual member that's part of the church. The church is radiant with glory. Peter probably couldn't have ever imagined what the church would become and what the church truly is. You know, he was just a fisherman from Galilee. But God had an incredible plan that through this church, which he built upon Peter, we would have this wonderful mystical body of Christ that would spread across the ages and across the world, uniting people together into one family and as the instrument of salvation for the human race. It's only through the power of God that this could happen. You know, if we ever want proof for the existence of God, we should look at the church. You know, this one church has outlived any other kingdom on the face of the earth, and it will persevere until the end of time. You know, Christ promises in the gospel, he says, the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it, which means the enemy is going to be attacking the church, but the church will persevere through all the trials and obstacles that the church will face throughout time. The church will persevere, and the church will never be destroyed. And so each one of us are blessed to be part of a reality that's far greater than any one of us. It's far greater than anything that just happens here at our parish church. We're part of Jesus Christ's instrument of salvation, which spans the ages, time, and eternity. And it's a reality that's absolutely worth our hearts, our love, and our devotion. And so even though there's a level of imperfectness in the church in this world, in the sense that there's fallen human beings that are part of it, nevertheless, when we see the beauty of what the church is and what Christ's plan is for the church, it's absolutely worth our complete and total dedication to always remain faithful to the church, because Jesus Christ will never abandon his church. He will be faithful to his church always in time and in eternity. And we too are called to give our fidelity and our devotion and our love to the church, and through the church, to Jesus Christ.